Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jeva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, who is the author. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, Text 25. But I also want to read other verses, including text up to text 30.
Král Svayambhuva Manu, syn pána Brahmy, který je známý svým spravedlivým jednáním, sídlí na Brahmávartě a vládne zemi s jejími sedmi oceány. Význam. Někdy se říká, že Brahmávarta je částí Kurukšetry, nebo že samotná Kurukšetra patří k Brahmávartě, protože polobozy mají doporučeno na Kurukšetře vykonávat duchovní rituální obřady. Podle jiných názorů je však Brahmávarta místem na Brahmalovce, odkud Svayambhuva vládl. Na povrchu této země máme mnoho míst, která jsou známá také na vyšších planetárních systémech. Jsou zde místa jako Vrindavan, Dvaraka a Mathura, která zároveň věčně existují na Krišnalovce. Na povrchu země je mnoho podobných men a je možné, že ve věku Kance vládl této planetě Svayambhuva, jak je uvedeno zde. Významné je slovo Mangala. Mangala znamená ten, kdo je po všech stránkách dokonalý, co se týče náboženských obřadů, vládnutí, čistoty a všech ostatních dobrých vlastností. Vikyata znamená slavný. Svayambhuva Manu byl slavný tím, že měl všechny dobré vlastnosti.
So, next verse. Sa cheha vipraraja sir mahishya shatarupaya aya ayasyati tadikshushtvam paraso dharmakovira.
O brámano, tento slavný král, velice zběhlý ve vykonávání náboženských činností, sem pozítří přijede se svojí královnou Šatarupou, protože tě chce vidět.
Atmajam osita pangim vayashila kunanvitam mrgayantim patim dasyati anu urupayate prabho.
Má dospělou dceru s černýma očima, která je právě navdávána, úctyhodného charakteru a je obdařen všemi dobrými vlastnostmi. I ona hledá vhodného manžela. Můj milý pane si pro ní ideálním partnerem a její rodiče tě přijedou navštívit, aby ti ji dali za ženu. Význam. Výběr dobrého manžela pro dobrou duchu měli vždy na starosti její rodiče. Zde je jasně řečeno, že Manu a jeho manželka přijeli navštívit Kardamu Muniho, aby mu nabídli svoji dceru, protože měla dobré vlastnosti a rodiče jí hledali muže s podobným charakterem. To je rodičovská povinnost. Dívky se nikdy neposílají na ulici, aby si našli manžela, protože když si dospělá dívka hledá chlapce, nebere v úvahu, nakolik jí bude skutečně dobrým partnerem. Dívka si může na základě sexuální touhy vybrat kohokoliv, ale když manžela vybírají rodiče, mohou uvážit, koho vybrat a koho ne. Podle védského systému tedy dívku dávají vhodnému chlapci její rodiče a nikdy si nevybírá svého manžela sama.
Samahitam te hridayam yatriman parivatsaran sattvam brahman ripavadhu kaman ashu bhajisyati.
O vznešený mudrci, tato princezna bude přesně taková, na jakou si myslel ve svém srdci po všechny ty dlouhé roky. Brzy bude tvá a bude ti sloužit tvoje plné spokojenost. Význam. Pán dává oddanému všechna požehnání podle touhy v jeho srdci a v tomto případě tedy dal vědět Kardamovi Munimu. Dívka, která se za tebe přijede provdat, je princezna, dcera krále Svayambhuvy, a proto dokonale vyhovuje tvým požadavkům. Člověk může dostat pěknou manželku, která přesně odpovídá jeho touhám jedině milostí Boha. Stejně tak milostí Boha dostává dívka manžela, který vyhovuje jejímu srdci. Proto je řečeno, že budeme-li se při všem, co podnikáme během své hmotné existence, modlit k nejvyššímu pánu, vše dopadne velice dobře podle touhy našeho srdce. To znamená, že za všech okolností musíme hledat útočiště u nejvyšší osobnosti božství. Zcela záviset na rozhodnutí pána. Člověk mění, Bůh mění. Splnění tužeb bychom proto měli nechat na nejvyšší osobnosti božství. To je ideální řešení. Kardama Muni si přál pouze manželku, ale protože byl pánu poddaný, pán mu vybral za ženu dceru krále, princezi. Kardama takto získal manželku, která předčila jeho očekávání. Pokud závisíme na volbě nejvyšší osobnosti božství, získáme větší požehnání, než po jakém toužíme. Významné je rovněž to, že Kardama Muni byl brámana, zatímco král Svayambhuva byl kšatria. Sňatky mezi příslušníky různých společenských tříd, které byly běžné i v této dávné době. Systém byl takový, že brahmana se mohl oženit s dcerou kšatry, ale kšatria si nemohl vzít dceru brahmany. Ve vědeckých dějinách nacházíme příklad toho, jak Šukráčarya nabídl svoji dceru Maharádžovi Jajátimu, ale král musel odmítnout sňatek s dcerou brahmany. Mohli se vzít teprve s brahmanovým zvláštním svolením. Před mnoha miliony let tedy nebyly sňatky mezi kastami zakázané, ale existoval určitý řád společenského chování.
Then yat atma britam viryam navada prasavishyati virye twadiye rishaya adhasyanti anjasatmanaha.
Ze semene, které do ní zaseješ, porodí devět dcer a s těmito dcerami, které splodíš, budou mudrci plodit další děti.
Tvam ca samyag anushtaya nideśam ma usattamaha manitirti kratashesha kriyato mam prapatsyase.
Tvé srdce se očistí řádným plněním mého příkazu. Přenecháš mě plody všeho svého jednání a nakonec ke mně dospěješ. Význam. Zde jsou významná slova tirti kratashesha kriyata. Kriyata znamená posvátné místo, kde se dávají milodary. Dříve lidé chodili na poutní místa a skládali tam mnoho velkých darů. Je dodnes. Pán proto řekl, abys posvětil své jednání a výsledky svých činů, všechno obětuješ mě. Je rovněž potvrzeno Bhagavatam. Ať děláš cokoliv, jíš cokoliv nebo obětuješ cokoliv, výsledek dávej pouze mě. Na jiném místě Bhagavatam pán řekl, já jsem příjemcem všech obětí, všeho odříkání a všech činů pro dobro lidstva nebo společnosti. Chce-li tedy člověk dělat něco pro dobro své rodiny, společnosti, země nebo celého lidstva, musí všechny své činnosti vykonávat ve vědomí Krišny. To je pokyn, který dal pán Kardamovi Munimu. Maharaj Yudhishthira vítal náradu Muniho. Každé místo, na které přijdeš, se posvětí tvojí přítomnosti, protože samotný pán neustále sídlí ve tvém srdci. Stejně tak bude vše posvěcené, budeme-li jednat ve vědomí Krišny pod vedením pána a jeho představitele. To pán naznačil Kardamovi Munimu, který podle toho jednal a získal proto nejznešenější manželku a dítě.
Ukam grodi bachelam mangam langai te grim yat kripata ramman de shri gurundine tarinam. Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are aimed at engaging human beings, civilized human beings, of all the different propensities.
Pán říká, že Krišnovy pokyny v Bhagavad Gita mají za cíl zaměstnat všechny lidské bytosti, civilizované lidské bytosti podle jejich sklonu.
This we explained the other day, that some human beings have a propensity for karma, others have propensity for jnana, and others are by nature devotees.
Jsme již vysvětlovali, že někteří lidé mají sklony ke karmě, jiní ke jnaně, a jiní jsou přirozeně oddaní.
So for those who have propensity for karma, Lord Krishna says, yat karoshi yarashnashi yat juhosi dadasi yat yatapashasi kantiya tat karushva madarpanam. So karma means to do something, means to act. So Krishna says, therefore, all that you do, whatever you do, under religious injunction, under Vedic direction, you do it for me.
Karma znamená jednat. V tom smyslu Krishna říká, cokoliv děláš ve shodě s náboženskými pokyny, tak dělej pro mě.
So he says, eat for me, offer things to me, give charity for me.
Říká, jes pro mě, obětuj věci pro mě, dávej milodary pro mě.
Perform your austerities for me.
Konávej své obříkání pro mě.
All these activities mentioned are highly praised in the Karma Kanda Shastras as being very beneficial.
Všechny ty uvedené činnosti jsou velice doporučované v karmakánských písmech jako velice prospěšná.
So Lord Krishna says, yes, that's very nice that you want to engage in these karmas. Fine, but do them for me.
Pán Krishna říká, to je velice pěkné, že chceš dělat tyhle karmy, ale dělej je pro mě.
So when one performs karma under Krishna's injunction in Bhagavad Gita, then there are two attitudes he may have. One is Sakama, the other is Nishkama. So Sakama is the lower platform. One is performing his duties to Krishna, but there is kam. That means there is desire to enjoy the results for himself. So, just to give a practical example in terms of our devotional service here in the temple. Someone may go into the kitchen to cook an offering for the Lord. But in planning out the menu that is to be offered, this cook is thinking about all the preparations he or she likes personally. Now, we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya, he is very fond of particular preparations, like, for instance, shak. Shak means spinach. Very often, we find Western people don't like spinach. That was always a subject for jokes. I remember when I was very young, there were very often jokes about mothers trying to get their sons to eat their spinach. So spinach is not such a popular item. But Lord Chaitanya likes spinach very much. So let's say this cook also doesn't like spinach. So in preparing the menu, if this cook thinks, yes, I'm going to make pizzas, I'm going to make ice cream, I'm going to make chocolate bonbons or carob bonbons. And other things which this cook is personally very fond of. And then while they're planning out the menu, another Prabhu comes in and says, is bringing a nice big basket of fresh spinach and says, I have brought spinach for Lord Chaitanya. And then they think, oh, no, I'm not going to make any spinach. Because I don't like spinach. Lord Chaitanya likes spinach. And you're supposed to be cooking for Lord Chaitanya. So this is an example of Sakama Karma Yoga. Sakama Karma Yoga means one is engaged his karma in yoga, in service to the Lord. He's cooking. Everybody has to cook. That's an example of karma. All people on this street, in this neighborhood, in this city, in this world are cooking every day. So that's a typical karma. So karma yoga, in Krishna consciousness, we engage, we cook for Krishna. But if in cooking for Krishna, we're still thinking of our own tongue, although, of course, there's the intention to offer to Krishna first. Then that type of karma yoga is called sakama karma yoga. There is still the influence of our own desires. So sakama karma yoga is not pure devotional service, but the act of engaging the karma in Krishna's service, offering to Krishna, as Krishna says, yat karoshi rishtasi, etc. That is purifying. So by doing this, even though it's sakama, by engaging in karma yoga, this person will become purified in time. And thus he can attain to the higher platform, which is called nishkama karma yoga. Nishkama means no personal desires are involved in the service. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, asakto hi charan karma param apnoti purusha. That when one performs his karma, his work, asakto hi charan. Charan means, or acharan, achara means his behavior, his activity. Acharan karma. So he's performing his acharan karma, asakto. Asakto means with no attachment. Then, param apnoti purusha. Then by this nishkama activity, he will attain Krishna. So this is actually pure devotional service. So, but in either case, whether sakam or nishkam, the performance of prescribed duties for the sake of the Lord is all auspicious. It is exemplary. It is the path to be followed by all human beings. You know, yad yadya charati shreshta tat evataro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastha danavartate. Krishna says that whatever work a great man does, and by great man Krishna means his devotees. Krishna considers his devotees to be the great men and women. So whatever work great personalities do in this world, because they are great, all the world will follow.
Krishna říká, že jakékoliv činnosti velká osobnost dělá v tomto světě a tím myslí své odané, které pokládá za velké osobnosti, tak takovou činnost budou celý svět následovat.
So this is Krishna's interest. Krishna wants to save the whole world. They have to be shown the right path. So, therefore, among the devotees of the Lord, you see these two examples of sakama, nishkama. Both are auspicious. Because there's a whole world out there looking at the devotees for an example. And mostly the people in the world, they have strong material desires that they want to fulfill. So, they may see among the assembly of devotees that there are those who are able to enjoy. Yes, they're enjoying their service. They're sakama karma yogis. They're acting as they like, as their nature impels them. At the same time, it's all for Krishna. So then, because they are very interested in sense gratification, then they think that, well, yeah, this is the best standard of sense gratification. Let me do like that. Some of our grihastha devotees in ISKCON, they're living in very palatial houses in Topanga Canyon in Los Angeles, on the hillside. And they're engaged in some service to Krishna. that is very attractive to the conditioned souls, for instance, like filmmaking. So by doing this service, they can mix with Hollywood directors and actors. And they hold parties, and all kinds of important people are coming. And their taste, and they sit down and they taste very excellent prasadam. And they're drinking very nice rose water scented lassi drinks. So in this way, people are very attached, very much used to a high standard of sense gratification. They become purified, and they're thinking, yes, actually, these Hare Krishnas, they have the best standard of material enjoyment. I like this. So then their interest in Krishna consciousness naturally increases. Then gradually they're going to find out, as they become more purified, that actually happiness is not equivalent to this very refined standard of sense gratification. Happiness actually means to surrender to Krishna's desire. We see also among the sa kama karma yogis, those devotees who have an interest to enjoy as they serve. As time goes on, Krishna gives them a few knocks in the head. Now, if they're actually at heart good devotees, then they take the lesson properly. We have seen some of our god brothers who are very, I'm not going to mention any names, but who are in very they're very respected in ISKCON for their preaching. Yet, they may have been married once, then twice, then three times, looking for the right wife. So they get married, and for some reason or other, the marriage, after some time, breaks up, and they get married again, and that breaks up. So this is the school of hard knocks. After a while, they start to realize that actually there's no happiness in this. Hare Krishna. So eventually, as we said, if one is actually becoming purified and is actually attached to the process of Krishna consciousness, more attached to the process than to sense gratification, and gradually with Krishna's help, he will give up all connection to sense gratification. And come to the real standard that Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted this movement to be, to exemplify nishkama karma yoga. That the devotees are performing their duties only for the sake of Krishna and only for the sake of preaching. You see, this is the twofold aspect. in whatever is happening in this movement has two purposes. The primary purpose is to satisfy Krishna.
So, dva hlavní cíle všeho, co se děje v tomhle hnutí. První cíl je uspokojit Krishna.
But at the same time, satisfying Krishna means, especially in the Sankirtan movement, it means leading all living entities on the right path.
Zároveň uspokojit Krishna, zvlášť v Sankirtanovém hnutí, znamená vést všechny živé bytosti na správnou cestu.
And as far as the sense gratification, that interest to satisfy one's own material desires, that doesn't come into consideration.
Co se týče smyslové požitku, nebo zájmu uspokojit svoje vlastní hmotné touhy, tak to nepřipadá v úvahu.
So I can recall in the early days of ISKCON that this was very clearly our understanding of all devotees. This is what Prabhupada wants from us. To serve Krishna, to show the right path to the conditioned souls, and to give up all personal material desires.
Sloužit Krishnovi, ukázat správnou cestu podmíněným duším a zdát se všech osobních hmotných tužeb.
And that is happiness.
To je štěstí.
That will make us actually happy.
Tím budeme skutečně šťastní.
But when it was seen that there are some devotees who have very strong material desires, then Prabhupada allowed them. Like one devotee was persisting, Prabhupada, I like to drink chocolate milk. So Prabhupada finally said, all right, you can drink chocolate milk, but no one else. So there is scope. You see, there is, we should all understand this. There is scope for sakarma, karma yoga within ISKCON, but it is definitely on a lower platform.
Měli chápat, že v ISKCONu je prostor pro sakama karma yoga, ale je to každopádně na nižší úrovni.
It is actually to be taken as a kind of temporary concession.
Že by se to mělo brát jako dočasné povolení.
The point is that this person's desires are very strong. All right, give him a little facility for satisfying them, but he should become purified and in time give them up and come to the right standard.
Jo, to ta osoba má velice silné touhy, tak dobře, dáme mu možnost nějakým způsobem uspokojovat, ale jenom na čas, potom se má očistit na správnou úroveň.
And in the practical management of this, the sa karmis, or what is it, sa kama karma yogis, they should live separately. They should not live in the temple. So the actual standard that Prabhupada wanted for ISKCON, the actual social standard, he always called Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. Daivi Varnashram Dharma is the kind of Varnashram Dharma which emanates from Sankirtan. This age, the Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan. And Sankirtan means Nishkama, no desire other than to satisfy Krishna and to benedict the conditioned souls with Krishna's mercy.
Nishkama znamená nemít jinou touhu než uspokojit Krishnu a dát podmíněné Krishnu přízeň nebo Krishnovu milost.
This is the real meaning of Sankirtan.
A to je skutečný význam Sankirtan.
So when Sankirtan is performed in this society, then a social structure begins to appear automatically. Because the conditioned souls become purified and attracted. They want to serve Krishna. And they come forward to engage themselves, and thus we see system of social organization appears, and that's called Daivi Varnashram Dharma.
Přichází, aby se zaměstnali ve službě Krišnovi a vidíme, že se objevuje společenská struktura, která se nazývá Daivi Varnashram Dharma.
Daivi means Deva, that means God. God-centered Varna Ashram Dharma.
Daivi je Deva neboli Bůh, takže to znamená Varna Ashram Dharma se středem, s Bohem ve středu.
Or transcendental Varnashram Dharma.
Varnashram.
Just like you see in Goloka Vrindavan. There is Varnashram Dharma in Goloka Vrindavan. But there are no sa kama karma yogis in Goloka Vrindavan. Everything is being done only for Krishna's pleasure. So this is the standard that Srila Prabhupada expected. Of course, to be merciful, to actually be merciful and help the conditioned souls, there has to be some allowance for on the outermost region of Daivi Varnashram Dharma. There is an area of more or less ordinary Varnashram Dharma for those who have material desires and need to work through them. So, the difference between ordinary Varnashram Dharma and Daivi Varnashram Dharma is actually the same difference between the material world and the spiritual world. Daivi Varnashram Dharma, or Nishkam Karma Yoga, actually means Krishna Lila. This is what Krishna himself is declaring in Bhagavad Gita. He says, I have no reason to perform any karma. I'm the Supreme Lord. So there's no duty for me. But still I come into this world. And I perform regulated duties. You see, Krishna 5,000 years ago, as he was speaking to Arjuna, so he was in the position of Kshatriya king, the king of Dwarka. And as you know, from reading the Krishna book, as king of Dwarka, Lord Krishna was observing perfectly all the regulative principles of the Kshatriyas. And yet Krishna doesn't have to do this. But he does it, why he declares himself. We've already quoted, yad yad acharati sreshtas tat tat evattaro jana. To lead the people on the right path. The perfect personality must set the perfect example. This is Krishna's mercy. He doesn't have to do this, but by his compassion to the conditioned souls, he does it anyway. When Lord Chaitanya was going on Harinam with his devotees, they happened to pass by a place where drunkards gather and drink wine. So Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy at that time. So when he smelled the wine, then he entered into the mood of Lord Balaram. Now you may know from these scriptures that Lord Balaram always has red eyes and they're always rolling from intoxication. He's always fond of drinking the Varuni beverage, which is actually a transcendental intoxicant.
Pořád velice rád pije nápoj Varuni, což je transcendentální opojný nápoj.
But you see, Lord Balaram being God and everything being his energy, he can drink whatever he wants. He normally drinks Varuni beverage, but if he wants to drink, you know, Seagram's whiskey, he can drink a whole ocean of that too.
Balaram je Bůh a všechno je jeho energie, takže může pít cokoliv chce, když chce, může pít i oceán whisky.
He can drink all the vodka in Russia and not be contaminated in the least by it.
Může pít všechno vodku v Rusku a vůbec se to neznečistí.
So Lord Chaitanya, entering into the mood of Lord Balaram, then he announced, I am going into this house of drunkards to drink.
Pan Chaitanya se vstoupil do nálady Balarama a řekl, půjdu tady do toho domu opilců, abych pil.
And Srivas Thakur, he began to beg Lord Chaitanya, please do not go in there.
A Srivas Thakur prosil, prosím tě, nechoď tam.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at him, still in the mood of Lord Balaram. Well, Lord Balaram gets very angry when someone tries to stop his progress. So Lord Balaram said, you dare to stop me? And Srivas Thakur said, my dear Lord, you are independent. How can I, who am an ordinary jiva, stop you from exercising your desire? But I tell you one thing, if you go in there and drink wine, I will go to the Ganges and drown myself. So Lord Chaitanya, then his ecstasy cooled down a little bit. So he asked Srivas Thakur, why are you saying this? And Srivas Thakur said, because if you go in this whiskey house or whatever it was, wine place, and drink, then the whole world will follow your example. And therefore, what will become of your mission to save the conditioned souls? Everyone will become a drunkard. So what will that accomplish? So I've come here, I came from the spiritual world, took birth at Srivas Thakur, because my purpose is to assist you in your mission of delivering the fallen souls. So if you do this, then what is the use of me being here? I'll just go to the Ganges and drown myself and go back to the spiritual world. So for this reason, simply for the benefit of the conditioned souls, when the Supreme Lord comes, as in his original form, as Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or any of his incarnation forms, he always sets the perfect example of behavior. And this is his lila. This is not his karma. This is his pastime. And those, this is what Krishna says, janma karma cha me divyam. My appearance and my karma, my activities are divyam. Divyam is another form of the word daivi. You see, they are divine. And he says, those who know this nature, this divine nature of my appearance and activities, they never have to take birth again. And Krishna explains that those who know this are those whose activities are also divyam, who are following in Krishna's footsteps. So in other words, what this means is that the pure devotees, the devotees of the Lord, they are also engaged in Leela, in the Lord's Leela of establishing the correct example for the whole world to follow. Krishna's activities are transcendental, so if we serve Krishna, if our only interest is to serve Krishna, assist him in his mission, then our activities also become transcendental. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, we are serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. We address, Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually explains that when we address Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Master, we are, by that term, we are establishing our own position. He is the Supreme Master, we are his servants. So the mood in which we are engaging in Sankirtan is the mood of Dasya, Dasya Ras, the mentality of a servant. And as it is explained, yata yata gaur padar vinde vindeta bhaktim krit punya rasi. So our aim is to, in service to Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, our aim is to amass heaps of krit punya, heaps of pious activities. But this our eagerness to amass heaps of pious activities, this is not, again, this is not sakam. This is not with some plan that, oh yes, I will do so many pious activities in the Sankirtan mission and attain the heavenly planets. But I want to make this point very clear, that service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means an eagerness to perform pious works under his direction. It doesn't mean just drifting along and thinking, ah, everything is okay. I'm a devotee, and everything will happen automatically. I don't have to work so hard. We shouldn't be heavy. We should be very relaxed. This is not the direction. The direction is Vindeta Bhaktim Krita Punya. That if one is a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, then he must amass heaps of Krita Punya, heaps of pious activities. That is why, for instance, when the Sankirtan parties come back, the numbers of books are counted up and totals are made and sent into this Sankirtan newsletter and published. This is Krita Punya. We're showing this week so many pious activities were done. That means so many books were distributed, so much Lakshmi was collected and sent in to Srila Prabhupada's BBT, which, what is this BBT? It is the fire of Yajna, you see? It's like making an offering. Svaha, svaha. Svaha. You see, this is the Vedic process. to make yajna, to make sacrifice, to perform pious activities. The Krishna consciousness movement is a Vedic movement. This is what we do. It is not a Buddhist movement. A Buddhist philosophy is this philosophy of just drifting. They actually have in their philosophy that things happen by themselves. See, because there's no God in control. So everything just happens by itself. And they give the example of a stream flowing. See, a river flowing downstream. So things are just carried along. You don't have to do anything. Just be in that stream. Let it take you like a piece of seaweed, you see. Drift along.
Buddhistická filozofie je, že všechno se děje automaticky, že jako po řece plave spousta věcí, tak ty taky se tam můžeš jenom položit a se unášet moří.
But the Vedic culture means to perform pious activities.
A vedická kultura znamená vykonávat božné činnosti.
So, since this is the Kali Yuga, then pious activity, dharma, means sankirtan. There's only sankirtan dharma in this age. So in this age, a pious person, one who is to be known as a follower of the Vedic culture, is one who is always engaged in sankirtan, and he's amassing heaps of pious activities.
V tomto věku zbožná osoba, jako stoupenec ved, je známá tím, že hromadí spousty zbožných činností v rámci sankirtan.
So then what is the point? So if ISKCON is supposed to be nishkama, without any material desires, and yet we're amassing pious activities in sankirtan, so what is the object, what is the goal?
A jelikož ISKCON má být nishkama, že pořád hromadíme spousty zbožných činností, tak co je jejich cílem?
So that is explained by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati, that when a devotee serves Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet by amassing heaps of pious activities in sankirtan, then as a result of his devotion to the Lord as servant, in that mood of servant, then all at once, it happens suddenly, without warning, all at once, he is suddenly blessed by the nectar emanating from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani.
Takže podaný slouží lotosovým nohám Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a hromadí spousty zbožných činností a sankirtanu, tak potom z ničeho nic se stane, že je požehnaný nektarem z lotosových nohou Srimati Radharani.
That means his reward, the return that he gets for his pious activities, is Krishna prema, pure love of Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya is himself none other than Radha, Srimati Radharani, and Krishna together. So if we please him by our service in the Sankirtan Dharma, then he rewards us by benedicting us with the nectar of Radharani's lotus feet, which means Mahabhav, which means the greatest ecstasy of love of Krishna. And Srila Narottam Das Thakur says in one of his songs that Gora Prema Rasarnave Setaranga Jeva Dube, and one who dives into this ocean of Gora Prema, ocean of Prema which emanates from the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, one who dives deep into those waves.
Srila Narottam Das Thakur říká v jedné písni, když se někdo hluboko ponoří do toho nektaru,
and say Radha Madhava Antaranga. When he comes up again, you see, after diving deep, when he comes up again, he finds that he's in the pastimes of Shri Radha Madhava. He finds himself in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. and the gopis. He finds his own form has been transformed into a spiritual, eternal form. A form of a manjari, a gopi.
Yeah.
Who has some specific service to render in the Madhura Lila, the sweet pastimes of Krishna's loving exchange with Radharani. So you see, that is the result of Nishkam Karma Yoga, performing our duties without any material desire, simply for the service of Lord Chaitanya. If one is enthusiastic to realize this result, one is enthusiastic to attain pure love of Godhead, and in that enthusiasm he's amassing heaps of pious activities, distributing many, many books, distributing tons of prasadam, preaching to people very enthusiastically. And no one can criticize that this is material enthusiasm, selfish motivation. This is simply wonderful. And we should actually bow down at the feet of such a devotee and pray that we may become similarly blessed with such enthusiasm. And this is what Srila Prabhupada wanted for ISKCON. Daivi Varna Ashram Dharma. Varna Ashram Dharma that does not lead to heavenly planets or even liberation, but which leads to pure love of Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes.
Did I understand properly that the piety actually means sankirtan? And sometimes, because sometimes we call some people pious.
We call some people
pious.
Pious people.
Pious because what is really the right definition?
Ah.
To really clarify.
Okay.
Say, that's not a definition. It's Bosni.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are three types of punya or piety. So one is the result of good material deeds. Just like someone who is feeding the poor, digging wells, giving charity. These are all good material deeds. So by performing such activities, he gets a good material reaction. He becomes materially qualified. In his next birth, he gets a nice body for performing material activities. He gets a nice mind for thinking about material activities. So he has all facility for enjoying sense gratification. But this type of piety is hallucinatory. It's just temporary material conditioning.
hodně podmiňující.
By enjoying sense gratification, then he uses up his pious credits and again becomes a nobody. You see.
Když se užívá smyslového požitku, tak vyčerpá svoje zásoby zbožných činností a zase se stane z něj nikdo.
Another kind of pious activity is that which is aimed at liberation.
Jiný druh zbožné činnosti jsou ty, které mají za cíl osvobození.
So there are karmas, for instance, like bathing in the Ganges River, or fasting on certain auspicious days, or going to certain holy places, which result in liberation.
Karmy jako koupat se v Ganze nebo postit se na určité příměvé dny nebo jít na poutní místa, která mají za výsledek osvobození.
But this is also not devotional service.
To také není oddaná služba.
So, and as we know, even one becomes liberated from sin, even one enters the spiritual sky, unless he's engaged in devotional service, then his liberated position is not secure. He may fall down again.
Když se někdo osvobodí od hříšných činností a dokonce stoupí do duchovního nebe, tak dokud se nezaměstná oddanou službou, tak nemá, jeho místo není jisté a zase poklesne dolů.
And so finally, there is devotional piety.
A nakonec je oddaná zbožnost.
For instance, if someone is sick and confined to a hospital, and the doctors don't allow him to eat because that's bad for him. And it just so happens that in this way he's fasting, not eating, on Ekadasi day. He doesn't even know that it's Ekadasi. But he's, because of that circumstance, fasting on Ekadasi day. Then the result, the pious result, is actually called Agyata Sukriti. It is a devotional credit. He's done something for Krishna.
Nucen být v nemocnici a lékaři mu zakáží jíst a on se tím způsobem nevědomě postí na ekadáši, tak to je agyata sukriti a je to oddaná činnost vlastně pro Krišnu.
Another obvious example, when you, the book distributor goes and sells a book to some really ignorant, low-class person who has no idea what this book is, but somehow he just pays for it and takes it. So that is agyata sukriti. His devotional life has begun by that activity. So such activities do not lead to sense gratification or to liberation, but they lead to the path of bhakti yoga. So this is actually the real piety. Because it is really beneficial to the conditioned souls. To just attain the heavenly planets or even to attain the impersonal Brahma Jyoti does not give benefit.
Jenom dosáhnout nebeských planet nebo dosáhnout Brahma Jyoti nedává prospěch.
Yes?
Pro ISKCONa teď vidíme, že i v ISKCONu nikdo nenásleduje ani čtyři základní principy, takže to je sporné a to může být někdo.
This is the Kali Yuga. It's a sinful age.
To je Kali Yuga, je hříšný věk.
Srila Prabhupada once said that he said, just see, I am trying to push on this movement and I'm only getting help from fools and rascals.
Prabhupada říkal, já se snažím tlačit tohle hnutí, ale pomáhají mě jenom hlupáci a derebáci.
Another time he said, what did he say? Yes, he was telling his disciples, your brains are all ruined by LSD. But this movement has to start somewhere. Lord Chaitanya's Patita Pavana, the savior of the most fallen. So we should not doubt the purifying potency of the process. Even though initially the followers of this movement, they're coming out of background of fools and rascals, and they therefore they bring their bad habits. The process is so powerful that either they become purified of their bad habits in time, or they give up the process and go away. Prabhupada compared this to boiling the milk. He said, when you boil the milk, then the steam, which is unimportant, it goes away. And what is left gets thicker and thicker and sweeter, and more valuable. Although it looks less, you see. You can say, oh, when you started, this pot was full. But now, I've come back half hour later. It's only half full, what is happening? But what is in that pot is thicker, sweeter, and much more valuable. See? And we should also remember that even those persons who come to this movement and go away after some time, go back into the material world, they have been injected. Prabhupada used to, for these kind of people, Prabhupada would call Krishna consciousness poison. He would say they have been injected by the poison. So although they may go back to try to enjoy, that poison will continue to spoil all their efforts to be happy in the material world, and they will have to come back to Krishna consciousness later on. But just as a final point, we must manage this movement strictly according to Prabhupada's principles. There's no question of compromise. So, if it is seen that someone who is considered to be a devotee, representative of this movement, if they are not keeping the regulative principles, at least it is said, if they're regularly breaking the regulative principles, they cannot maintain even the minimal standard in spiritual life, then they cannot remain as representatives of this movement. Again, this is the point of this. This is not that we're running this movement under some kind of puritanical morality, as we used to see in Europe, where you know someone would do something wrong according to the order of the church, and then they would put him in the marketplace, the town square, in one of those, you know, those wooden things with a hand and head through, and everyone would throw tomatoes on him. This is not what we want to see in ISKCON. This is not the reason why, if someone is falling down, that we ask him to leave. It's not to demean him. Know what I mean? Demean him means to not to scandalize him, you know, not to make him into some object of our scorn, and ridicule and disgust. That's not the point.
Má odejít si skonu, tak to není za účelem ho nějak zesměšnit a znevážit a podobně.
The point is that people have to be shown the right path of life.
Jde o to, že se má lidem ukázat správná cesta života.
So this movement has to be exemplary.
Tohle hnutí musí být ukázkové.
Prabhupada used to say, it is easy if one takes to the process properly, then following the regulative principles is easy. So people have to see that. You see. So there are devotees who are enthusiastic, who have full faith in their spiritual master, who desire to advance in Krishna consciousness, and at the same time, they very sincerely desire to renounce all sense gratification.
Jsou odaní, kteří mají plnou víru v proces svého mistra, jsou nadšení, jak chtějí dělat pokroky, jak chtějí se zříct všeho smyslové požitky.
And for them, following the regulative principles is easy.
A pro ně je dodržování regulativních principů snadné.
And if others associate with them, then they will also find by that association the following of the four regulative principles to be easy.
Ostatní s nimi budou združovat, tak díky té společnosti také pro ně budou čtyři principy snadné dodržovány.
So this is what we want.
To, co chceme.
If on the other side, if we're preaching no meat eating, no illicit sex, etc., but when people look at our movement, they see that's what the devotees are doing. They're always falling down into these activities. Then they will lose interest, they will lose faith.
Když kážeme žádné jedení masa, žádný nedovolený sex, ale lidi budou vidět, že to je, co odaní dělají, pořád tomu klesají, tak nebudou mít zájem a žádnou víru.
So for this reason, you know, we have to be strict.
Z toho důvodu musíme být striktní.
Recently, it was brought to my attention in one of the countries for which I'm responsible, that one Mataji who was married, she developed an interest, it wasn't a fall down, but she was meeting with another Prabhu besides her husband and talking some sentimental thing. And she was claiming that by my talking with this other Prabhu privately, he's helping me because I have problems. So all this was brought to my attention. And I said, I had to say what Prabhupada says. This is nonsense.
Nedávno mě byl předložený takový případ v jedné zemi, za které zodpovídám. Nějaká Mataji daná se stýkala s jiným Prabhu, tak byl její manžel a měla s ním důvěrné rozhovory a ona říkala, že to jí velice pomáhá. Já jsem musel odpovědět, co říkala Prabhupada, to je nesmysl.
And then there was some sentimental response that we feel that this is better for us, that we should get married now. I, the girl said, I will leave my husband and get married to this other Prabhu, and he is really my proper husband. So then I had to say, yeah, you can do that, but not in ISKCON. Just go out and live your own life. And then, of course, then there's always this kind of sentimental talk. Oh, you know, but they're such nice devotees. Why do they have to leave? But if we allow such things to go on in our temples, then very quickly you will see this movement will lose all potency to preach.
Přišla nějaká sentimentální odpověď, ale to je můj skutečný manžel a nám to dělá velice dobře, nám to pomáhá. Já bych měla opustit svého bývalého a oženit se za něj. A tak jsem říkal, no můžeš to udělat, ale ne v ISKCONu. A zase přišly sentimentální odpovědi, že ale to jsou tak pěkný oddaní, ale tady to, v tom případě musíme být striktní.
Karmis will say, ah, you're just like us.
Jinak by karmi řekli, jsou jako my.
So why should we listen to you? You should listen to us.
Vás měli poslouchat, vy byste měli poslouchat nás.
You're having so many problems.
with your marriages. So we have very nice, you know, marriage counselors and divorce cases, you know, divorce laws and things like that. You should use, you should take what we have. They're already, and I tell you, they're already devotees who think like that. Yes, you know, actually the karmis, they have good ideas.
Říkají, máte ten problém se svatbou, s manželstvím, tak využijte, my máme takové dobré rádce pro manželství a dobré rozvodové procesy a někteří oddaní už tak dokonce uvoří, možná bychom měli využít pomoc karmic.
But ISKCON is not meant for this.
Ale to nemá, to ne, proto není ISKCON určen.
The material world is meant for that.
Proto je určený hmotný svět.
So if someone has such material inclination and cannot keep the principles, all right, you go out. Go to that world. That's what it's there for. Don't try to make ISKCON into the material world. Prabhupada defines sahajya as persons, a person who throws dirt into transcendence.
Prabhupada definuje sahajya jako tým, kdo hází špínu na transcendenci.
And these sahajyas, these sentimental sahajyas, have been since the beginning of Lord Chaitanya's movement, they've been the great, you know, a great weed growing in the garden of love of Godhead.
The sentimentální sahajyas byly od začátku hnutí pána Chaitanya jako velký plevel, který roste vedle lásky k Bohu.
Our acharyas, the great acharyas in this line, have always had to combat this influence. It comes in so many different ways, but ultimately it's the same thing. It's this sentimental argument that, you know, why do you have to be so heavy? Why do you have to be so strict? You know, why can't we also enjoy sense gratification and be devotees at the same time?
Sentimentu, že proč musíte být tak tvrdí, proč si nemůžeme taky užívat smyslový požitek a zároveň být oden.
So we cannot compromise with these sahajyas.
Ale nemůžeme dělat kompromisy se sahajy.
They are free to go into the material world and make their own movements. They are very successful in Bengal. They can also become successful in Europe and America if they like. We don't mind.
Můžou jít do hmotného světa dělat svoje hnutí a jsou úspěšní v Bengálsku a můžou být úspěšní v Evropě a Americe, nám to nevadí.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Devotees should worship Krishna in the form of Shyama Sundar. So why is in this one there are so many other forms of worship, like Sita Ram or Nrisimha?
Well, Lord Krishna is the Purna Tattva, the supreme truth, Purna Bhagavan, the complete Bhagavan, complete truth, complete personality of Godhead.
Pan Krishna je nejvyšší pravda, úplný.
By worshipping Krishna, Lord Shyamasundar, we're also worshipping all of his other forms. They're included. All of Krishna's forms are therefore worshipable because they're all included within him. So, Lord Krishna manifests his various forms to bestow particular benedictions upon his devotees.
Pan Krishna projevuje své různé podoby, aby dával určitá požehnání určitým oddaným.
For instance, Lord Nrisimhadeva appears to protect his devotees and remove obstacles from the path of their progress.
Například pan Nrisimhadeva se zjevuje, aby chránil oddané a odstraňoval překážky.
It's like the Hindus in India, they worship Ganesh. This is a figure human and elephant figure combined. And they call him, they have a name, Vinayaka, the one who removes obstacles from their path of progress. Of course, their path is the path of karma, sense gratification. That's why they worship Lord Ganesh, because they want wealth and family satisfaction.
In the Hinduists, they call Ganesh, which is half man, half man, half slon, who also removes obstacles, but they want to remove obstacles on the path of karma, which they want to achieve wealth and a satisfying family life.
But for devotees of Krishna, the worship of Lord Nrisimhadev is the means to remove obstacles and be protected in one's progress in pure devotional service. Now, the goal in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is to attain pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Shamsundar, Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. Lord Nrisimhadev is worshipped for that purpose. Sometimes I'm told, no one's ever tried to argue this with me directly, so I can't say I know anybody who really has this position. But I've been told that there are those who say that Lord Nrisimhadev is a form of Godhead in Vaikuntha. So if we worship Lord Nrisimhadev, then we will end up in Vaikuntha and not in Goloka Vrindavan. So therefore, you shouldn't worship Lord Nrisimhadev. Well, first of all, these persons should then answer the question, why did Srila Prabhupada command us after every arti to chant the prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, if that's so? Why did Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur worship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimhadev? Now you can still see that deity that he worshipped at the Yoga Pit Gaudiya Math, the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared. There's a temple to this deity of Lakshmi Nrisimha that was worshipped by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and then by his son Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And they should answer the question, why did Lord Chaitanya himself visit Lord Nrisimhadev's temple in Singachalam? That's the original Jiyada Nrisimha Kshetra. Why did he go there and stay for days together? And why was he in transcendental ecstasy chanting the holy names of Lord Nrisimhadev? If this worship of Lord Nrisimhadev leads one to Vaikuntha, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he clearly instructs Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita that a devotee should not desire to go to Vaikuntha, but rather to Goloka. So the answer is that in this sampradaya, we worship Lord Nrisimhadev, we worship all the forms of the Lord, but not with a view to attain liberation in Vaikuntha. Rather, we worship with a view to get their blessings that we may attain a pure love of Krishna.
Hmm.
the gopis worshipped Lord Shiva to get Krishna as their husband. That's the difference. You see, so many people are worshipping Lord Shiva for material benedictions. The gopis worship Lord Shiva, but to get Krishna as their husband. So in Gaudiya Vaishnavas can even worship the demigods in that way.
Gopi uctívají Pána Šivu, ale ne jako mnoho lidí, kteří uctívají pro hmotné poženání, ale oni uctívají by měli Krishnu za svého manžela, takže Vaishnavy, Gaudiya Vaishnavy můžou takhle uctívat i polobohy.
In Bombay, when Srila Prabhupada was at the time when Prabhupada was establishing the Bombay project, so there was such a fight, you must know, reading Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. For years, there was a big struggle to establish ISKCON in Juhu Beach. So when Prabhupada would visit, he would go on a morning walk every morning on the beach, but on his way, as he left the ISKCON property, across the street, there's a small Shiva temple. And Prabhupada, every time he would go on a walk, he would go inside the Shiva temple and bow down to Lord Shiva. Now, why was Prabhupada doing this? Because he wanted, some material benediction from Lord Shiva? No. He was praying to Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava, a very powerful Vaishnava, to please protect our movement. Please bless us that we may be successful in establishing ISKCON here.
Veliký boj, když Srila Prabhupada zřizoval temple v Bombaji a pokaždé, když tam přijel, tak chodil na procházku po pláži a vždycky se zastavil v chrámu Pána Šivy, který je přes cestu a tam se klonil Pánu Šivovi, ale co chtěl, jestli hmotná poženání. Ne, on se modlil Pánu Šivovi jako mocnému Vaishnavovi, aby chránil hnutí a pomohl vyhrát ten spor.
So, you can even worship demigods, Prabhupada said, you can worship. You could, if you want, you could put Ganesh on this altar. Prabhupada said, but you'd have to just pay $100,000 every month to the BBT. Then you can worship Ganesh. Yes.
Necessary condition so that one can realize Krishna in his heart. Is it enough to have a first initiation or only after the second initiation?
Yeah, so you've got big plans, I see. Srila Prabhupada said that chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is enough, is sufficient to bring one to the highest stage of Krishna consciousness. And the second initiation, in which one receives the Kama Gayatri Mantra, is to help, it's to assist us in perfecting our chanting of the Holy Name. But just by the first initiation, the Nama Diksha, that is actually enough if one overcomes all offenses.
Zpívání svatého jména je dostatečný pro to, aby mohl člověk dojít na nejvyšší úroveň dokonalosti a druhé zasvěcení s Gayatri Mantrou jenom má pomáhat tomu zpívání, ale už po prvním zasvěcení, kde je náma dikša do zpívání svatého jména, pokud se dokážeme zbavit přestupků všech, tak to je dostatečný pro nejvyšší realizaci.
Alright, so I have to stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.